Bible Church. We're here, and all of you others that have joined us from all over the world. And, you know, all of my life, that song said, you know, I've been around here a long time. I was born at the beginning of World War Number Two. Actually, my dad and I went and checked it on the internet. I was born on September the 3rd, 1939. That's the day that England declared war on Germany. And it was just a year later then that the Japanese bombed us. And, you know, everything was in a... I remember, if you remember, there's no 42s or 43s or 44 cars because all of the plants converted to do something else. This country can survive. We survive. I've been around, we've been through a lot of crisis, and the thing that we've survived there, but the thing that has got us through every one of them is our belief in God. Our belief in God, our belief in the Word, in what the Word of God says. You know, people are always asking, what is going to happen? What's going to happen? I mean, all kinds of things, rumors are flying around, and half of them are not true in the first place. And people are getting in fear, causing them to do crazy things that they wouldn't normally do. And even Christians are getting caught up in the middle of this crisis and asking questions. What's going to happen to us? Where can I go for help? Who's going to protect me? Well, I got answers for times of trouble. I got an answer. You know, a lot of people don't know what to do because they don't know the Word of God. I want to encourage you today to realize that the Word of God is God talking to us. President Ronald Reagan said this, "Within the covers of the Bible are the answers for all the problems men face." That's a great statement by not a preacher, but by a president. Within the covers of the Bible are the answers for all the problems that men face. I want to encourage you to develop a daily Bible reading habit. Now, I know people read their Bible, but some people read it when they're in crisis. Some people read it when they have time. But we need to have a time that we read the Bible every day, no matter whether we're facing problems or whether everything is going good. You see, some people, they only turn to the Bible when everything's going bad. I've noticed in this country, as I've grown up in this country and watched us come through a lot of crisis, every time there's a crisis, the people, even the politicians, start talking about God. But before that, they don't have no time for God. You see, too many people only are driven to God in a crisis. In fact, if you go back and look at the children of Israel in the Old Testament, they would turn to God when they got in trouble. The rest of the time, they're trying to do everything on their own. You know, I remember my dad telling this story. One time he was at a church he pastored. I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on, and the deacons and the leaders were all worked up and upset. And finally, one of the men said, "Brother Hagin, what are we going to do?" And my dad, in typical form, looked at him. "I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to act like the Word of God is true." You know, that's a great statement. Act like the Word of God is true. Some people don't know whether the Word of God is true. You've got to act like it's true. You got to believe it and act upon it. You know, we can go to the Word of God when we're in trouble. We can go to the Word of God for answers when everything's going good. The Word of God has the answer. Let's look at Hebrews 4, 12 through 16. Hebrews 4, 12 through 16. "For the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he's the one to whom we are accountable. I'm reading this from the NLT in case I didn't say that at first. Verse 14. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. You know, when I read these scriptures, it begins to speak to me about what I have because I'm in Christ Jesus. You know, as I look at these verses, I see three things that I believe that God has given us that will help us through any and every situation in life. I believe that we can depend on these three things to help us in any situation that we find ourselves in. He's given us these three things so that we will have victory. Now, the first thing that stands out to me in time of trouble in these verses of scripture is the Word of God. It says here, we'll go back to 12 and 13 of this fourth chapter of Hebrews. For the Word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes the innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. He's the one to whom we are accountable. Now I want you to notice there it says, the Word of God is alive, powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, on the TV, there's a reality show. It's called Forged in Fire. Some of you may have looked at it. These guys have to make a sword or a knife, and they have to get the metal and they heat it up, and they make. And one of the tests for to see if that weapon is any good is how sharp it is. And they do everything to dull it, and then they try, then they see how sharp it is. You know, the Word of God never is dull. It never gets a crack in it. When they put them through the test, then the blade begins to chip and crack. Then it can't slice through the material that it needs to slice through. But the Word of God is always sharp. It's always alive. It's powerful. You know, some other translations say, for the Word of God is alive with energy. Another translation said, for the message of God is living in an active force. Another one says, God's Word is alive and working. Another one says, for whatever God says to us is full of living power. Living power. You know, we begin to look at this and we begin to think about it. God's Word is powerful enough to raise us above any fear, any crisis, any circumstances. The Word of God is powerful enough to change us. The Word of God is powerful enough to change our circumstances. The Word of God is there in times of trouble. And so one of the first things that we need to change when we begin to look at this is our thinking. Our thinking. We need to think in line with the Word of God and realize some things. Romans 12:2 in the NLT says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you have learned to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Now, I like what the Message Bible says here. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out, readily recognizing what he wants from you and quickly responding to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, developing well-rounded maturity. Here we see that if we're going to get what we need from the Word of God, we have to realize what the Word says and not let anything from the outside or anybody change the way we think about the Word of God. You see, the Word of God changes our thinking, and from the thoughts from the Word of God, it helps us to defeat whatever circumstance that we find ourselves in and helps us through to victory. You see, if you're thinking what's going to happen, what am I going to do? Oh, my, wringing your hands. Hey, then you have not been to the Word of God. Because the Word of God tells us that no weapon formed against us will prosper. I believe that. And we got some weapons forming against us right now in the form of this virus that's going around. You know, the Word of God changes our thinking from hopelessness to all things are possible with God, because that's what the Bible says. You know, we go, and Lynette read it there at the beginning of the service when we read that Psalms 91, no plague shall come near you. You got to believe that and think in line with the Word of God. You know, the Word of God will give us strength. When we're in a dire situation, it's the strength of reading the Word of God that will bring us through. You know, if you're going to be successful in running track or whatever, you know, skiing, snowboarding, driving a race car, whatever, be successful, you have to have endurance. Even in our jobs and working, we have to have endurance. Endurance in the sporting world comes from practice over and over and over again. When I was running track in high school, I would run and run and run some more and run some more. Because without that, when it push come to shove, I wasn't ready. You know, when I was in the Army with a guy by the name of Warner, and his cousin was back in the 60s, was a big ski guy. And he said it didn't matter how many times he won. The very next day after a big win and he got the medal, he is on the slopes skiing every day. You see, if we're going to be successful, then every day we've got to be in this Word. Every day. I don't care how many victories you got, you still go back to the Word. You know, the Word of God strengthens us. Daniel said in Daniel 10:19, he said, as he spoke these words to me, I felt stronger. Daniel is saying that he was strengthened when he heard from God. We can be strengthened when we read the Word of God. You know, we need to say this. I want you to repeat it there at home right now. Repeat it with me. If you got it, get your Bible. Or if you got your device, get your device. This is my Bible. It is alive and powerful. It is ever living, indestructible, incorruptible, Word of God. It is mine. Sure foundation. It's a light to my path. See, we've got to know that that's what the Word of God is to us. This is one of the things that we have that will help us to overcome. You know, we used to sing a song when I was growing up, standing on the promises of Christ my King. Through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God, I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. And Rhema Bible Church, you've been here when I've actually put my Bible on the ground and told you how I stood on my Bible and claimed what the Word of God said as I was building this campus. You've been here. You've seen me do it right here on this platform. You see, you either stand on the Word of God and win, or you go with everything that's being said and get in fear and lose. When you stand upon the Word of God, you can depend that it will not lose its power. The Word of God is powerful today as it was the day it was spoken by God. Now, the second thing we have in the time of trouble from these scriptures is that we have someone who understands what we're facing and what we're going through. Hebrews 4:14. So then, since we have a great high priest who is entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. The high priest of ours, this high priest of ours, understands our weakness, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. This tells us that Jesus, even though he's in heaven today, he came and lived as a man down here. He faced everything that we face and overcame it. Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, now we have become children of God. And this verse tells us that he faced temptation, and you can go read that in the Word. He faced criticism and persecution. You can read that in the Gospels. He encountered tough circumstances with no answer in the natural. This means then that as Jesus lived here on this earth, he understands our feelings. He understands our emotions. He understands our thoughts that we battle with. He knows what it is when the enemy comes to tempt you. He knows how it feels to be rejected and unwanted. He knows how the mind races when trouble strikes you. And you know, I like the Voice translation on the last part of verse 15. But he emerged victorious without failing God. Jesus emerged victorious for himself. And because he emerged victorious, he can help us be victorious. He knows how to help us rise above our fear and trouble. He knows how to help us overcome in the time of crisis. He knows how to calm the storm in our life that we encounter. We all will encounter storms. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how much faith you say you have. We will encounter storms. You will encounter storms until Jesus comes and takes us out of here. Because the devil, Paul says, the devil is the god of this world. How did he get to be the god of this world? He got to be the god of this world when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. Hello. And in fact, Paul says in Romans that the whole earth groans for that day. What day? When Jesus Christ shall come back and change it back to the way it was there in the Garden of Eden. You know, Jesus has promised to be with us everywhere, all the time. Matthew 28, 20, the last part of that scripture says, "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You know, some of you probably have friends. I have. They're with you when everything's going good. But you let something, trouble or something start coming along and they're nowhere to be found. I imagine some of you can identify with that as you're watching. I mean, you know, they're with you. "Oh yeah, man, I got your back. Hey, I got you, man, I got you." But then trouble arises and you turn around. They ain't nobody. They're gone. But that's not Jesus. He's there behind you all the time. You know, I had a picture that I showed one time preaching years and years ago. And it's of this, there was this baby bear or lion or some kind of animal, you know. And it was being attacked by a predator, a big predator. But all of a sudden, the animal that was attacking this small cub or animal, all of a sudden turned and ran. And this little cub thought, "Man, I scared him off, you know." But in the background is this big lion behind him. You see, that's us. We're facing our enemy. But we've got our Jesus behind us back here. And he's there to see us through, to keep us out of fear. Fear will cause you to do crazy things. Things that you wouldn't normally do in a million years. And you know, during World War Number Two, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." Do you realize that when people get in fear, 99% of the stuff that they're in fear about never happens? It's the truth. You can do they do study on it. I mean, I've had psychology in my degree. I got some psychology courses. And they do studies on stuff like this. And they find out that people that are always in fear, that 99% of the stuff that they're fearful about never happens. So we have Jesus Christ, our faithful high priest, that's always there interceding for us with the Father. Now, the third thing we have is in the time of trouble, we can go into the throne room of God. 4:16 says, "So let us come boldly to the throne of grace," our gracious God, NLT says, "there we will receive his mercy. We will find grace to help us when we need it most." In the time of trouble, you don't have to wait for God to give you the go-ahead to come into the throne room. You can go right into the throne room and talk to God the Father yourself. In time of trouble, it seems that people seem to go the opposite direction. Rather than going to God, they run from God. Instead of coming to the church, they go somewhere else. Hey, if you're in trouble, go to God. He is the one that's going to see you out. There is no trouble too big or too small for God. You know, sometimes people make the mistake because they don't want to bother God. "Oh, I can handle this job all by myself." No, you can't. And God is waiting for you to come and ask him. He doesn't do anything until he's asked. The devil kicks the door down and comes in and makes you do stuff. God waits for you to ask him to do something. You know, one man, he's going through trouble, and he's telling his neighbor about it. And so his neighbor said, "Well, have you prayed?" And the man replied, "No, I figure God is busy enough running the universe and he doesn't have time for my little problem." Too often, that is our picture of God. But his willingness to be there for us in the time of trouble is evident from the scripture that we just read here. You can come boldly. God promised that he would receive us and that he would help us. You know, you had saw Denise up here with her mother a while ago doing announcements. She was about 4 or 5. And over in the office. And she come running down the hall. Run right in to the secretary that called them back then. Now they're assistants, I think, or something. Executive assistants or something. And she run right by the lady and right into her pawpaw's office without having any thought. And even some people said, "Hey, you can't do that." She didn't pay any attention because she knew she had the right to go into her pawpaw's office because she wanted something from pawpaw. Okay? I guarantee you, raise your hand. Wherever you're at, raise your hand. How many of you have ever run into your dad or your grandfather? Yeah, we all have. Why? Because we know that we are welcome to do so. And right here, God is telling us that we're welcome to come right in to the throne room of God. We don't have to have a special invitation. Some people waiting around say, "Well, I'm waiting on God." No, he's waiting on you. He's already said it right here. So you get up and do something. You see, we need to realize that this, it says NLT, the throne of our gracious God. Other translation says the throne of grace. Another, and it is a, there at the throne, God wants to give us grace and mercy, not judgment and condemnation. God wants to answer our prayer and not reject our request. God wants to show us mercy, not punish us unjustly. You know, some people think God's sitting up there with a big old slap fly swatter, and the minute you make a mistake, he gonna snap you out. That's the way some people have put. God is a loving heavenly Father. He's standing there, sitting in his throne. He is sitting on the throne, waiting for you to come to him and ask for help in the time of trouble. You know, God is a good listener, and then he is a provider. He listens to what is said, and then he goes into action. Somebody said, "Well, how does he go into action?" Well, he sends his angels out to help us. He talks to the Holy Spirit that is on the inside of us, and then the Holy Spirit talks to us and tells us what we can do. I've said this many times. Corrie Ten Boom, she was a World War II Holocaust survivor. She said, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." I can't tell you what the future holds for us, but I can tell you I know a God that holds the future, and I know that as we trust him, we'll come out on the other side. I realize that we need to be in the natural, doing what is necessary in the natural. But we don't need to be in fear. We need to stand on the word of God and know that we'll come out. And it goes right along, and I say it all the time, my saying, most of you all know it, the natural and the supernatural working together make the explosive force for God. It's not all natural and it's not all supernatural. It's both of them. God has already provided, but you got to get up and go do something about it. See, let us remember these three things, okay? We have the powerful word of God to stand on in the time of trouble. We have Jesus, our faithful high priest, who is there for us all of the time, being our attorney, so to speak, at the throne of God, pleading our case. And then we have the privilege and the right to come to the throne of God and ask whatever it is that we need. These three things are great and powerful, and they will help you to overcome trouble. They will help you to overcome fear. They will help you to emerge and have a victorious life. But it's not up to God. It's up to us to get in this word and believe it and do what it says. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I have talked to these people for a few moments today to stir up their pure minds and their pure hearts that they might know that they have help in the time of trouble. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. You know, if you were watching and you need Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you know what it is to serve God, but you're just not where you're supposed to be and you need to rededicate your life, I want you to repeat this prayer after me right now. Say this: Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son Jesus that came to this earth, that lived and died so that I could have salvation. You said in your holy word that if I believe that in my heart and I confess that with my mouth, that I would be saved. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he died for my sin. I thank you now, as I confess this with my mouth, that I am a new person in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. On your screen there is it says partner services at rhema.org. If you prayed that prayer with us for salvation, or you prayed that prayer in rededication, please go to that and let us know all about it. I want to encourage you to be with us again tonight right here online. And then on Wednesday night at 7. Now tonight it's at 6 o'clock on Sunday night, but on Wednesday night it'll be Hour of Power. We'll be right here online again. And then Rhema Bible Church, you guys keep posted there. We will be posting some things on Friday, this coming Friday, concerning next Sunday. This thing has to be played. We have to approach it one day at a time and see what the officials are saying. We are doing online because the officials have asked us to. We're not fearful. We're not afraid. But there's such a thing as doing what the natural tells you to do and doing what the spiritual tells you to do. So, hey, we'll be right here tonight at 6 o'clock. So come be with us, and I'll be here on Wednesday night at Hour of Power. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Well, we'll see you tonight. Hey, remember what I talked to you about, the three things. I'm not going to reiterate them. You should already know what they are. But number one is the Word of God, okay? Now you fill in the blank for the other two and know that you will come out victorious. There, you have not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. And no weapon formed against us will prosper, and no plague cannot come nigh our dwelling. God bless you. We'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock.